Welcome to Busy Research, the podcast where business meets data and insights drive success. I'm your host, Vicki McCarthy, Director of the Center for Applied Business Research at Austin Peay State University. On this podcast, we get busy learning about how applied business research can improve business decision-making. Welcome back, listeners. Today on Busy Research, we're talking about a crucial aspect of business insurance claims, the appraisal process. Many businesses find themselves navigating the complexities of appraisal demands and insurance policies. But is it truly the right fit for your business claim? Joining us today is Elizabeth Rankin, who teaches business law at Austin Peay State University in Clarksville, Tennessee. She is also a CABR faculty fellow, a practicing attorney, and a former general sessions judge in Clarksville. Dr. Rankin is well-versed in the complexities of appraisal demands and insurance policies, and she joins us to shed light on this important topic. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vicki. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with the basics. Elizabeth, explain why property casualty insurance is crucial for businesses.
Well, any kind of business, whether you have a physical location or a storefront location, you should have liability insurance for any type of business that you own or run. But as opposed to property casualty insurance, generally that's for people with storefront type businesses. It protects against this litigious society, which of course we do have such a litigious society in this day and time. It could also help cover inventory. It can even could help as far as your physical building if you do sustain property damage. So it's very important. It's something that you should be thinking about as a business owner even before you start your business. That's something that should be budgeted into your budget, because it is very important to protect yourself, both from liability, but also from casualty property damage. And that is mainly what my focus will be on today.
Great. Thank you for that overview. Can you talk a little bit about property insurance contracts in Tennessee?
Sure. Property insurance contracts in this state, because I will be speaking directly about Tennessee law, because that's where I'm licensed to practice, is in Tennessee. But property insurance contracts are basically the same contract rules as any other type of contract in Tennessee. You have to have certain elements for a valid contract. Things like offer and acceptance, consideration, legality of subject matter, capacity to contract, etc. And those types of elements have to be present in an insurance contract. In an insurance contract, and we're dealing mainly with the casualty insurance, any undefined words are interpreted according to dictionary definitions. If you've ever bought an insurance contract, which I'm sure everyone has, you will see in the first three or four pages of that contract a whole list of definitions of different words, because the insurance company, as the drafter of the contract, wants to be sure that you understand what their words mean. If there could be more than one meaning to a word, they want to be sure that you know, and that any court of law would know what their words actually mean. So they'll define all these words. But if there is an ambiguous term or an ambiguous phrase in the insurance contract, if it is construed in favor of the policyholder, because that's the way it is with any type of a contract. If there's an ambiguous term, it is construed against the drafter and in favor of the one who didn't draft the contract. So in this situation, it would be if there's a condition or a limitation in an insurance contract that is ambiguous, then it will generally result in coverage for the insured.
Thank you for that explanation. So when we're talking about casualty insurance, you were talking about property loss. So if a business sustains some property loss due to hail, a tornado, or fire. What happens?
Well, there are some things that you as the policyholder should do right away. And I know that you've noticed, we've all noticed the weather seems to be getting worse every year. And we have tougher tornadoes. We have more hurricanes, which we just had one just recently. And of course, there were a lot of tornadoes that went through Tennessee in the last 6 months to a year, and there's been a lot of property damage. So there are things that you as a policyholder should do as quickly as possible following a loss of a property damage loss. Call your insurance company as soon as possible to make a claim under your policy. Document all of your communications with your insurance carrier. Write down things like the date, the time, the name of the person you talked to when you called. And if it's verbal communication, be sure to follow that up with something like an email, even a text if you can, some type of a confirming email to make sure there aren't any misunderstandings between you and your insurance carrier. If you had to make some kind of emergency repairs to your property, sometimes you have to, then keep all your records of the money that you spent and receipts regarding those repairs. Sometimes you have to move from your business. And if you've been displaced, be sure to keep all your records of how much it's cost you to move and all that. So that you will have a list or know where to go back and look for a list of all that you've had to spend. If your business had to close, and of course we know a whole lot of businesses had to close during the pandemic and were forced to close, but that is the topic for an entirely different research paper that I was doing. But anyway, we'll get back to casualty loss. But if it's had to close, be sure to keep a list of all your expenses to include things like lost revenues and stuff like that. Obtain any videos if you can, or take pictures if you can of the actual storm or whatever it was, the hail that caused the loss, and start a list of all your damaged contents, your tools of your trade, your furniture in your office, your electronic devices. Those are very expensive sometimes. And don't throw anything out until either the appraiser has gotten there that the insurance company sends, or someone else who can appraise damages. Don't throw anything away until you have that done and documented. You might have to get an actual copy of your insurance policy from your insurance company, because sometimes people don't keep up with those or they lose them or something. Comply with any of your insurance company's requests if you can, as far as giving them the photographs that you have, allowing inspections, cooperate as much as you possibly can. Be sure to fill out all the forms and ask the company, is there anything else I need to fill out? Be sure that's completed, because sometimes there are time frames for those. And if you think that your damages may be worse than what your insurance company seems to suggest, you can always get a second opinion for someone who doesn't work for that insurance company, because, I mean, when you think about it, the adjuster that comes out is working for the insurance company. So if there is a dispute as to what the amount of the loss was, then there is something in almost every property casualty insurance policy in Tennessee that's called appraisal. And that's a condition that's put in there by the drafter of the policy, who is the insurance company. And that's the main issue I actually wanted to address, was that appraisal condition. So if there is a dispute between you and what the insurance company acts like they're going to pay, then you or your insurance company, either one of the two of you, can make a demand for an appraisal. It has to be a written demand, and that's key to it. It always has to be a written demand for an appraisal. And I'll just explain a little bit about what an appraisal actually is. Everybody knows what it is. You have your house appraised, you have your jewelry appraised, you might have your car appraised if you're getting insurance, so you'll know what something is worth. So these types of appraisals are trying to figure out how much your loss is worth. So it's an alternative dispute resolution process. In the legal term, it's called ADR for short. That's what we attorneys call it. And it mandates that appraisal mandate in a policy says that there's an appointment of a three-person appraisal panel. Two appraisers, one for each of you. You each get to pick one. And then a third neutral person that's called the umpire. And that's someone that supposedly the insurance company and you are supposed to be agreeing on. And they're authorized and tasked with the job of trying to determine the amount of the loss. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. This in theory is supposed to be a good thing. It's supposed to help streamline and simplify the claims process. But getting back to the physical location or the storefront, let's say you as the business owner submit a claim to your insurer, and the insurer responds and they accept coverage for, let's say, a portion of the loss. And their estimate is significantly less than what you think you've been quoted by your own like contractor or somebody. Then you have a dispute, and that's when appraisal might help. It might help the business when it comes to the process, and it might help the insurance company not to have to go into litigation. So reducing that claims process, which sometimes takes a long time, and reducing the involvement of courts and litigation, it's supposed to do that in theory. But that therein kind of lies the dilemma. It can be useful and efficient depending on the nature of the claim, depending on the insurance company. Some are more litigious than others, and the amount of the loss. So it can be a good thing for you. So the two appraisers go out, they inspect the property, they try to work together to determine the loss. If they can't, then the umpire tries to get involved or does get involved. And the decision comes down to what two of the three of them agree to. And that's going to be binding. It'll be binding on the insurance company, and it'll be binding on the policyholder. So it can be a helpful and efficient way to solve claims or to settle claims.
And then this means that the business insurance covers the damage that the store or the particular business actually has.
Well, appraisal does not and cannot actually resolve questions of coverage, causation, or even liability. But what it does do is it sets the amount of the loss of the claim. What I'm talking about now, as far as when the appraisal process comes in, the insurance company has already said that you have coverage. But then the question gets to be, how much is your coverage? An example is, let's say you have a roof damage claim. Your contractor that you know, the person that comes out on your behalf, says, well, you need a whole new roof. And that happens a lot of times when we have these hailstorms and strong wind storms. Your insurance company comes out and inspects the property and says, you are right, you know, you do have roof damage. And then they say, we think 50 shingles need to be replaced. And this is way less than what your contractor said you need. So a dispute would arise. And you're saying, hey, I need a whole new roof. It's probably going to be for a big building, you know, like a big storage warehouse or something. It could be $100,000 or more than that. It can be hundreds of thousands. But then the insurance company says, we'll replace 50 of the damaged shingles. You make a written demand for an appraisal. And here's something that's kind of interesting. The insurance company tries to argue back that it's not an appraisable issue because, and I don't know why, a lot of times insurance companies do not want to submit to appraisal. Because remember, it's binding on both of you. When two out of three of the panel agrees on an amount, both sides have to accept that. The insurance company will try to argue that this is a scope of coverage issue. And this is kind of getting into some legalities of it. And coverage is whether a loss is covered under the policy, whereas scope is what needs to be repaired. But here's the thing. In Tennessee, scope is an appraisable amount of loss issue. So more than likely, the insurance company is not going to argue that, or they're going to try to argue that it's just not a covered loss, period. And so in theory, there are a lot of benefits to appraisal, but in practice, most insurance companies will just vehemently try to avoid appraisal. And even though they are the ones who drafted the insurance policy to begin with, and they are the ones who included the appraisal condition in their own policy. So this kind of makes no sense. And that was the issue I wanted to do some research about. Why would an insurance company want this option in their policy that they drafted if they usually fight not to use it? That's a real quandary. And I don't know. I don't really know the answer to that.
Well, what recourse does a business have if the insurance company says this is not an appraisable situation? Does the business have any recourse?
Well, in a situation like that, you would probably just have to turn around and file suit. There are, of course, a lot of steps you have to take in this state before you can actually file suit against your insurance company. But then there you go. You have this appraisal clause in your policy that says, you know, you have to do this if there's a dispute. And then they'll say, well, it's not an appraisal issue. It's something else. You don't really have anything else you can do except file suit, which is the total reason why this appraisal condition was to be put in there in the first place, to try to avoid that. That's what I'm getting at. That's the quandary. That's kind of the catch 22, if you will.
It does sound like a paradox, like you said, and a very yeah. important issue. It's you know, today, and I just got here in Tennessee an alert that there are tornadoes today. So I hope everyone is staying safe. This is what, springtime, summertime in Tennessee. And so, like you said, that's not uncommon. But a very important business topic, Elizabeth, and I appreciate you talking about this with us. Before we wrap up, do you have any thoughts or additional thoughts about property casualty insurance for businesses?
Well, in reality, the appraisal condition in a policy can actually cause more litigation. Should they be in there at all? And if they are, always argued by the insurance company, why did they put them in there? Because it can cause more litigation. Motions to compel, motions for appointment of the appraisal umpire when the insurance companies just staunchly deny that it's an appraisable issue. Motion to enforce an appraisal award. Let's say you get the award and it's more of what you want for what you think is a fair settlement, and the insurance company won't pay it, and even more litigation. So is it really a streamlining method? It should be. Or does it just make for more litigation? That's kind of a legal dilemma, if you will, like you called it, a paradox. So that is what I plan to explore in my forthcoming research paper. So I'm going to try to propose a solution to this dilemma, because hopefully there is a solution.
Well, this has been a great conversation, and one that I know businesses have to deal with a lot. So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise in this area. I really look forward to your research paper and learning more about this issue and some possible solutions.
Well, thank you, Vicki, for inviting me. It has been my pleasure.
That's all for today, folks. Thank you for tuning in to Busy Research. To learn more about Elizabeth Rankin and the Center for Applied Business Research, check out the links in this episode's show notes. Until next time, take care and stay busy.